planning your next big trip, you might want to rethink it. Joining us today is Samara Caldwell from Flight Centre, who's here to unpack the travel trends nobody predicted for 2026. From how Aussies are choosing to travel to where they're really heading next. Whether you're a seasoned jet setter or dreaming of your first overseas adventure, this conversation might just change your next booking. Stay tuned. Samara, thanks for joining podcasts on 1015fm.com.au again. We caught up last month and spoke about the biggest travel mistakes people make. And to carry on from that, there's a big change coming for travel in the EU. What is that?
Hi, Joy. Thanks so much for having me back on. Yes, something that we needed to touch on is a new visa waiver that is being introduced for travel to Europe. So as of October, November, there hasn't been a specific date set just yet, but they will be introducing a visa waiver. It is called the ETIAS, so the European Travel Information and Authorization System. Quite the mouthful. But yes, anybody travelling on an Australian passport will need to apply for the ETIAS and ensure that they have that before checking in for their flight. Further to that, if they are a dual citizen of any of those European countries, they must have that passport, the passport for that country, to enter in.
Wow, that's just amazing, the changes. Not just grab your passport, let's head on a boat or a plane. There's so much rigmarole. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the single biggest shift in how Aussies are booking holidays this year that's caught the industry off guard?
Namely, I would say we've seen a major shift with Aussies travelling closer to home. So we've seen a lot of people opting for Asia, so Vietnam, Japan, China, and looking at multiple holidays as well throughout the year. We're seeing a lot of that. Now, Vietnam, ATIA, so the Australian Travel Industry Association, they reported that travel was up by over 16% to Vietnam. Japan, of course, is still up there, always and continuing to grow year after year. We're always seeing it. Yeah,
it's amazing how many people that I know that have either been to Japan recently or it's on their list to go. So it's a very popular country.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would have at least a couple of Japan bookings, you know, every week or two.
Wow.
Easily.
That's amazing.
More than that as well, we're seeing that overall travel habits, they've changed substantially over the years. We're seeing it's now a lifestyle and an integral part of a lot of people's well-being. People are working towards that next holiday and the opportunity to pause and hit the reset button. Yeah, so the holiday isn't just, you know, where do we want to go? It's how do we want to feel when we get home?
Very true. So I'm curious about the difference between experience-led versus sightseeing. Can you clarify the difference? What does experience-led travel actually look like on the ground versus the old tick the landmarks approach?
Yeah, of course. So experience-led travel means travellers are immersing themselves in the destination more rather than just hopping from landmark to landmark. They're looking for experiences that make them feel something, not necessarily just ticking off another city. The holiday becomes more about the experiences shared and the memories created.
That's a big part, the memories.
Yes, absolutely.
The memories are just so wonderful. So can you give us some concrete examples of experience-led trips Flight Centre customers are booking right now, like cooking classes, wildlife encounters, wellness retreats, inspired by TV or film?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. So cooking classes, they're a great way for you to not only taste the local dishes, but learn how to make them as well. And then you get to bring them home with you. So what better way to reminisce on the holiday, incredible holiday that you've had over a bowl of ramen or pho or something that you've learnt to make abroad?
Wow. Now that is interesting, for sure. Wonderful. Okay, so why is touring and cruising still growing when so many predicted their decline? What's driving repeat bookings?
Yeah, of course. So people are wanting to enjoy their holiday. They're not wanting to spend it navigating or lugging bags, you know, finding themselves stuck with language barriers. Touring has changed a lot from what it once was. There is a tour out there for everybody, whether it be small group, slower paced, off the beaten track. We've got adventure, luxury, the list goes on. Tour companies, they're tailoring their itineraries to suit, you know, today's traveller. And with cruising, again, it was growing constantly. And they actually saw an increase again of 9.5% last year, up on the 2018 record. So cruising is booming. Yeah.
It's great. Well, I'm actually heading out on a cruise this October.
Very exciting.
I love cruising. Just the fact that you can take your suitcase on board, put it aside and basically never touch it again.
Absolutely.
Until you're leaving.
Yeah.
That's what I love most about it. There's none of this dragging the suitcase back out to the car the next morning and putting it in and starting again.
Absolutely,
That's great. So, Samara, are there any particular groups fueling the touring cruising boom? Is it purely older travellers or is it broadening out?
Yeah, we've seen it broaden out, absolutely. Touring has actually seen an increase in younger travellers because they're wanting that experience-led holiday that we were talking about earlier. So gorilla trekking in Uganda, hiking in Patagonia, searching for the orangutans in the jungle in Borneo. But they don't want to do that alone. Navigate those places without a guide
and somebody
that knows what they're doing. And cruising, so it offers families, you know, floating resorts essentially, kids clubs, water slides, pools, entertainment, the list goes on. So we see a lot of families opting for cruises, you know, not just the older generation. Another big one for cruising is multi-generational holidays.
For sure. And with the multi-generational holidays, why now? Is it cost sharing, family reconnection, post-COVID catch-up, or something else?
I would definitely say family reconnection over anything else. It's not just a family holiday. It's about bringing the whole family together and spending quality time together. Families are wanting to create lasting memories that they can all cherish.
Well, that's great. And as you said, if there's multiple families on a trip, they can all get together in one area and there's none of the driving to down the road or whether. So it's a wonderful idea and it's said very popular. So are you able to give me a real example of a multi-gen itinerary that Flight Centre has put together, including how do you cater to a toddler and a grandparent on the same trip?
With that one, a little separate to the multi-gen holiday, we're actually seeing as well what we call a skip-gen holiday. So that would be the grandparents and the grandchildren travelling together. So mum and dad get left. Mum and dad get left at
home.
Give
them a break.
Give them a break. And the grandparents get to spend that quality time that we spoke about with the grandchildren. And one that I actually have put together recently, and I'm so grateful that I got to be a part of it. It was a grandmother and her grandsons, and she took them over to Africa and they did, they did wildlife safaris together and they went to Victoria Falls together.
Wow.
And to be a part of, you know, helping put that together and talking to them when they returned home, very, very grateful.
Excellent. So I've read that the bucket list is back. Why did it fall out of fashion and what's brought it roaring back?
Oh, that would be COVID. 100% I would say that is COVID.
Yes.
People weren't sure if they would make it to their, you know, those bucket list destinations, the destinations they've had on the list for a long time. So when the world reopened and we got some normalcy back in the world, you know, people were determined to start checking off those things that they'd had on their bucket list a long time.
Wow. I was wondering if the new bucket list differs from the old one. Is it still Eiffel Tower and the Great Wall, or has it shifted toward once-in-a-lifetime experiences? Example, whale sharks, northern lights, hot air balloons, which all sound great.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say we've seen a shift. While those things are still on some people's bucket lists, we're definitely seeing a lot of those safaris in Africa, expedition cruising to Antarctica, swimming with the whale sharks, as you mentioned, wild dolphins, searching for the northern lights up in the Lapland. Yeah, sleeping in an igloo, waking up to the northern lights above you. Just, yeah, they've all shot up the list.
Fair enough. You want to head off on a holiday just thinking about, that.
Me too.
So if we look at domestic travel, are these trends playing out locally too? Are Moreton Bay and Queensland travellers embracing experience-led and multi-gen trips closer to home?
Yeah, I would say so. Rather than the traditional beach stay, we are seeing families, you know, with the grandparents still interested in staying together but sharing experiences together. So wildlife encounters, you know, farm stays and visits, whale watching, things that they can do together to create those memories.
That's fabulous. Well, I'm actually doing whale watching myself this Sunday with
enjoy.
My daughter and her husband.
So. There you go. Enjoy.
Wonderful. We touched on this last month, but I think it's worth revisiting. The Middle East conflict disruption has reshaped some international routes. Has that changed how Aussies are planning UK and Europe trips?
Yeah, yes, it has, Christine. It can vary from individual to individual, though, and personal circumstances are also influencing how travellers are choosing to book. A lot of people are opting to book with a travel agent so they know that they're not alone, and we can help you to make an informed decision on what best suits you for your next adventure to the UK and Europe.
Excellent. Samara, what's your best tip for local listeners planning their next big trip based on these shifts?
It would have to be to come and visit us at Flight Centre Morrowfield.
Fair enough. For sure. We've unpacked why Aussies are choosing experience-led travel over sightseeing, the rise of multi-generational holidays, the comeback of the bucket list. And we've touched on the enduring appeal of touring and cruising. And I think that would be a great topic for next month, Samara. Our thanks to Samara Caldwell, travel expert at Flight Centre Morayfield, for taking us through the travel trends reshaping how Aussies holiday. If you've missed earlier chats, you can catch Samara's earlier travel tips on trending destinations in Australia and abroad only on podcast on 101.5fm.com.au.